Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "With freedom comes responsibility." Statistics prove that this is true. Individuals recently released from prison encounter difficulties in their re-entry into society. Programs have been started both by government action and private compassion to help returning citizens successfully re-enter society following their incarceration. One such citizen puts it this way: "When you first come home, it gets overwhelming because everything bombards you." Yet while noting the difficulties, the same individual noted that he was blessed to find a job after prison. Eleanor Roosevelt was right. With freedom comes responsibility. Yet this responsibility should not overshadow the great privileges of freedom. Christians have been given freedom from sin. Our guilt has been pardoned. We have been justified by God. Yet in the difficulties and responsibilities of the Christian life, we are often tempted to lose sight of the great privileges God has given us in our justification. We have been declared not only not guilty, but righteous. In living as men and women freed from sin, we do not only carry a responsibility, but we possess great privileges and blessings from God. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Ed Fedor teaches from the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, in his message titled, Blessings of Justification. To learn more about the wonderful realities that are true for those who have been justified in Christ, we invite you to join us for today's program. Let's open our Bibles and ready our hearts as we together delight in the Word. Sometimes we don't know what we have. We think we know, but we don't really know. Really. Cartoonist and artist Don Tracht died in 2005. And his sons inherited their father's house, and they began to do some work in the house, and they began to renovate the house. And to their surprise, they found inside the walls paintings hidden. And one of the hidden paintings was painted by this artist's neighbor and his friend, the famous artist Norman Rockwell. And his sons puzzled about it. They didn't know why his father may have put these paintings behind the walls. It might have been connected to preserving them from a settlement of some kind. The sons found this painting, and they sold it in 2006 for $15.4 million. They knew they had their father's house, but they didn't really know what they had. And many Christians know they have salvation in Christ, but they don't know what they have. We're going to continue in our series this morning called Garden to Garden. And what we're doing is we're tracing the plan of God, God's plan of redemption, across the pages of Scripture. And this morning I want to take a closer look at a handful of blessings that flow out of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Some of them you may have thought about, some of you haven't thought about some of these things. You don't know what you have. So we're going to look at the New Testament book of Romans in chapter 5. But first, I'm going to do a bait and switch, and we're going to look at chapter 3. So if you brought your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 3. And I chose this passage in Romans 5. Because I love this passage. I chose it because I need this passage. I chose it because you need this passage. It's only five verses long, but it's loaded with encouragement. It's loaded with spiritual insight. They are insights that every believer in Jesus Christ needs to sink deep into their souls. They give us insight into our relationship with God, our great hope as believers in Christ, and a powerful understanding of God's purposes in our suffering. But first, we need to understand a key word that's in our text, and it's the word justified. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, this book to the Romans, he was writing to the church in Rome, used this word, justified. He said, "You and I are justified by faith in Jesus Christ." But what does it mean? What does that mean?
It means that you and I in Christ have been declared righteous on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ. We have been declared righteous by faith in Christ. So let's see how Paul uses this term in chapter 3, and then we'll go to our text in chapter 5. So in Romans 3, verses 21 through 26, this paragraph has been called the most important single paragraph in the entire Bible. And that's a huge claim to make. Why would they say that? It's called that because of the absolutely life-changing truth it contains about salvation in Jesus Christ. It answers questions about how we are saved from the judgment of God, the wrath of God. It answers the question about how we become righteous before God. So listen as I read it. Listen for connections between righteousness, justification, and faith. Righteousness, justification, and faith. Let me read the paragraph. It says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." How are you justified? By your faith in Jesus and his work on the cross. By grace alone. He said this is a gift. Through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then in chapter 4, Paul teaches us that salvation has always been by faith. It has never been by works of any kind. Even Abraham, the father of the Jews, the father of our faith, was justified by faith. And when you trust in Christ for your salvation, God forgives you your sin, and he credits the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Christ, to your account. He declares you righteous in his sight. You are justified. Listen how Wayne Grudem defines justification. It's on your outline on the back of the bulletin. He said, "Justification is an instantaneous legal act of God, instantaneous at the point of faith, in which he, number one, thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, and two, declares us to be righteous in his sight." So not only did the justification of God bless us with forgiveness and salvation and righteousness in Christ, that would have been huge, that would have been plenty and enough. But Paul gives us insight into a number of other blessings. Let's look at the first five verses of Romans 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The first blessing of justification I want us to see is in verses 1 to in the first part of 2. Forever peace with God. Forever peace with God. There's been a lot of talk about war lately. Again, there are wars and conflicts all over this planet. And when talk of war starts up, there's also talk about peace. There's a pull and a draw toward avoiding war and achieving peace. How do we achieve peace? We love peace. We want peace. We want peace among nations. We want peace between groups of people. We want peace in our family. We want peace with our friends. We want peace in our soul. And all of those things are really, really important. But as important as each one of those are, that's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is not peace in any of those ways. Your greatest need is you need peace with God. When someone gets to the end of their life and they're facing their final days, the main question to answer is not going to be, did I reach all of my goals? Did I leave money for my children? Are my financial affairs in order? And those are good. Do that. But that's not the most important question you're going to ask yourself. The most important question you have to grapple with is, do I have peace with God? And it's so important to have an answer for that question sooner than later. Because one day you will die. I'm sorry to break that news to you. One day you will die and you are going to face God. And that question is going to become preeminent. Some think you can't know the answer to that question until you die. Well, friends, it would be a grave mistake for you to wait until you die to find out the answer to that question, because I believe you will be very disappointed. God didn't want you to live your life with doubt about that question. He was very clear about how you can have peace with God. And Paul's not talking here about a subjective feeling of peacefulness. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. He's not talking about the peace of God, a feeling of peacefulness in your soul. Although that's another fruit of justification, is you can have peace in your soul, that feeling of peacefulness because of Christ. But he's talking here about peace with God. This is a state or a status of peace between you and God. And that's an objective reality. If you are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven, you are no longer an enemy of God, the war is over. It's over. Peace has been achieved because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus bought it for you. The wall that separated you from God because of your sin has been ripped down and the conflict has been resolved. Harmony has been restored. You are now in a state of peace with God. And that happened the very second you placed your faith in Christ. If you have placed your faith in Christ. If you haven't, you must place your faith in Christ and what he has done for you on the cross. Your sins were forever wiped away. Every sin you ever committed and every sin you will ever commit has been wiped away. And you have a state of peace with God that will never be broken. It can never be broken. Why? Because you didn't achieve it to begin with. It was God who achieved it. It was God who did everything to achieve your peace with him through his Son. He accomplished every part of it, and all you did is come to him with empty hands of faith and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for achieving peace through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. I receive him. I trust him fully. That's all you did. God did everything. Verse 2, through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. This grace is the state of grace that we have in our peace with God. You have been given access to this grace, and it's forever. It's where you stand. We're not walking in and out of it. You are standing in grace. You are standing in peace with God. It's like Jesus opened the door to the kingdom of peace with God. He let you in and he closed the door behind you, and you now stand in peace with God. John Stott said this. He said, "Justified believers enjoy a blessing far greater than a periodic approach to God or an occasional audience with God. We are privileged to live in the temple and in the palace. Our relationship with God is not sporadic, but continuous. It's not precarious, but it's secure. We do not fall in and out of grace." Isn't that glorious? There's no worry. You don't worry about this. Am I in a state of grace with God? Yes, because Jesus achieved it for you. You stand secure. Huge blessing of your justification is forever peace with God. And when you stand before God one day, he is going to welcome you with joy into his presence. A second blessing of justification is this: hope in the glory of God. Number two, hope in the glory of God. Verse 2b, "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The Bible talks a lot about the glory of God. God, says the Bible, God is glorious. All of God's perfections are the sum of his glory. And from cover to cover, it's God's purpose to make his glory known to his creation, to display his glory in everything that he is and in everything that he does, so that all creation might see it and savor it and love it and worship him for it and praise him for it and be energized by it and be blessed by it. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. And the Bible says that he created you and I for his glory, that we might display his glory as the pinnacle of his creation, and that we would reflect his glory and bring him glory in the way that we live. That's why he created you. There are a number of amazing blessings of justification connected with the glory of God. Let me give you three. Number one, we rejoice that one day we'll see the full glory of God when we're with him in heaven. One day we'll see the full glory of God when we're with him in heaven. We rejoice in that hope because it's certain, it's guaranteed for those who are justified. And this hope is unique for Christians. There is no doubt about what we hope for. No doubt. It's not like, boy, I hope it stops raining one day. Biblical hope is the joyful, confident expectation that rests on the promises of God and God's power and faithfulness to fulfill those promises. The hope we have in Christ is ironclad hope. His promises will be fulfilled. And God has already given us a glimpse of his amazing glory in his creation. But it's really only a glimpse. One day we will see him in full glory. There will be no greater blessing, no greater encouragement than to be with God, beholding his glory. Now imagine the most magnificent sight you could ever see. The most beautiful work of art you could ever imagine somebody creating. The most beautiful sunset, the most magnificent sunset you could ever imagine. The most natural beauty on this planet that you could ever imagine. Imagine it. None of it will compare to the glory of God himself. None of it. God's creation is far greater in beauty because he created it. So what does it say about him? His magnificence. The second thing connected with his glory is number two, we will rejoice because God is changing us right now for his glory into greater glory. God is changing you and I as believers in Christ from glory to glory. He is changing us now. He's transforming our lives. God is shaping us and molding us into the image of Christ by his word, by his spirit, so that we would reflect his glory. We put off sin, we put on the righteous character of Jesus Christ, we grow from glory to glory. It's closely connected to Christ. Paul says in Colossians 1:27 that the great treasure of your faith is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The transformation into greater glory, greater holiness, is a work of God's sovereign and powerful grace. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God as he works it out in your life. The Apostle Paul says that as we gaze on the glory of God, we're transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another. As we gaze on Christ, as we think about him, as we meditate on his nature, as we grow to be more like Jesus, we reflect his glory more and more. We take on the beautiful character of our glorious Savior. Number three, we rejoice that one day we will be fully glorified. You and I will be fully glorified. We'll be resurrected and given glorified bodies that are fit for eternity in heaven. We'll be morally and in every other way perfected, glorified. We'll be clothed in the glory of God's own Son, said John MacArthur. Paul says in Philippians 3:20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. He will give us a body like his glorious body. Because of our justification, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God because we'll see God in all his glory. We'll be transformed now into greater glory. And when we see Christ, we'll be fully perfected and glorified. And all of that is beautiful. All of that is easy to see and grasp. And then we come to verses 3 and 4. Number 3, eternal perspective on suffering. That's another blessing of justification, eternal perspective on suffering. Paul makes this amazing statement. He says, verse 3, not only do we rejoice in all of those things, we rejoice in our sufferings. What? Paul, what are you saying? How does that make any sense? James said the same thing. He said, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. What? Suffering isn't easy. Most of us would probably say we love our salvation. We love our justification. Thank you, God. But we kind of dislike suffering. If we had an option, we'd probably choose not to have it. Thank you very much. Suffering is hard. Suffering is unpleasant. Rejoice in it. Does Paul know something about suffering that we don't? Yeah, he does. He knows that suffering has a divine purpose in the hands of a good and wise God. He knows that God is at work in us in our suffering. Verses 3 and 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Here's something you always need to remember. Listen to this. Your suffering is never without meaning. Your suffering is never just random, pointless pain. Never. God is always, always, always working in and through your hardships. God doesn't waste any second of it. He is always doing 100 things at once.
Thanks for listening. The free gift of justification is truly glorious, isn't it? Not only does it mean our innocence, but it carries with it rich blessings. As we conclude today's program, it's important to reflect on the truths of Scripture. Have you truly been justified through faith in Jesus Christ? If so, how many of these blessings enrich your walk of faith in Him day by day? Our prayer is that the power of God's Word would transform our daily lives as we anticipate the hope of heaven. If you'd like to listen again, or you'd like to listen to any of the prior messages in this series, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. Our mission is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you until next time as we together delight in the Word.